The storm that we are facing is just washing us. He's just cleansing us. I want you to quickly look at the scripture the Lord gave me last night in the book of Isaiah 43 verse 19. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Just stop there. Shall you not know it? This is actually God saying, listen, can't you see what's happening all around you? Can't you hear the sound of the abundance of rain? Come on, can't you see that the desert is busy changing and there's a river running through it? Shall you not know it? Behold, I will do a new thing. Yo, I think I must just preach on this scripture this whole morning. Behold, I will do a new thing. This is God speaking. Behold, I will do a new thing. A new thing is something that you have not experienced before. It's not something that your past did to you. It's not something that the previous season did. Behold, God is doing a new thing. In other words, a new move. There's a new move of the Spirit coming. And in fact, I wanna go as far as people are gonna say, well, I'm crazy now, but it's something new that this world has not yet seen. Come on, it's a move of the Spirit of God. It's the supply from heaven that this world has not yet seen. Behold, I will do a new thing now. Come on, now. Come on, now. Now. One more time. Come on, now. Now we shall spring forth. Now we shall spring forth. Now we shall spring forth. Not in a month to come. Come on, not next year. Now. Come on, can somebody agree with me right now? Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Come on, shall you not hear the sound of the abundance of rain? I will even make a road in the wilderness. That I like. God Almighty, I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, if you don't understand, a river in the desert, if you live in a desert, you want water. Now, God says, I'm going to make a road where it seems impossible. I will create a path for you to walk on. I will use your impossible situation and I will show the world how big I am. I'm going to make a road in your wilderness. I'll make it easy. In other words, I'll make it easy for you to walk. I'll make the burden easy. And he says, I will put rivers in a desert. I will put rivers in desolate places. In other words, in your place of your desert season in your life, God will put overflow. Come on, say this with me, overflow. I don't know about you, but overflow means that there's more than enough. Overflow means that it's not just for me to get by for this month again. Overflow means that everything is paid and there's more than enough. Overflow means there's no sickness in my house. Come on. Overflow means there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, this joy that you have, this world has not given it to you. This joy that you have, come on, money didn't give it to you. Come on, people didn't give it to you. This joy that I have, Jesus gave it to me. This world didn't give it, and the world cannot take it away. Come on, I'm talking about overflow joy. That yet you're walking in a desert, but something is different in this desert. Now there's a road. And I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, while the world is mourning, you will be in joy. Come on, while the world is weeping, you'll be laughing. I'm here to announce this to you, that now God is doing a new thing. Now we shall spring up. Come on. Now we shall break through over your life. This is a new season. Church of the living God. This is a new season for the church. The Bible says that the money of the unjust is laid up for the just. Well, I don't know about you, but God is going to use the sinners, their income, their wealth to bless the church. I don't care what hell tries to do against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No tongue that is rising up against you shall do anything against you. If God is for me, come on, who can be against me? For far too long, we've been in a season where there was drought and there was pain and there was heartache. But God says, now there's a change coming in the atmosphere. Now, I was seeking God for this word. I was seeking Him. I said, Lord, you need to speak to the church. And I say this to the church, it's here. Come on, I said, it's here. Come on, somebody, if you believe it, I want you to give Him praise in this place. It is here, the season of overflow. I will do a new thing. Come on, He said He will do a new thing. There's a scripture in the book of Kings. In the first book of Kings, 17. Now I want you just to, before we're going to read it, 17, I'm going to start from verse 19. God spoke to Elijah and he said, I'm going to before this, God said to you, I'm going to send ravens. The ravens will take care of you. They will feed you. Now, one thing that I've learned about Elijah's life is Elijah took God at his word. If somebody in this place can just take God at his word. Come on, if somebody in this place can just take God at his word. If he said it, he means it. Come on, if he said it, he means it. There's people sitting in this place, you've received the promise. Somebody needs to bring it before God and say, Lord, you have promised and you cannot lie. So I'm reminding you of this promise. Come on, am I in the right church this morning? You received the promise. You received a prophetic declaration over your life. Maybe it hasn't come to pass. Somebody needs to lay it before God and say, you are truth. There's no lie in you. Your word will come to pass. Elijah believed. Every time when God spoke to Elijah, he listened. God said to him, go down, there will be a brook. Now I'm talking about a famine that hit the world. There's no water, but in the famine, God is looking after his own. There's a famine for the world, but for Elijah, there's overflow. The brook is overflowing with water. Scripture says there's no water, there's no food. People are dying. If you study Scripture, you'll see people around Elijah is dying, and yet he's living in overflow. And the Bible says, God says, I promise you, I'll send the ravens. The ravens will feed you. Now, Elijah's a man of God, and God promised him on a Monday, I'll send the ravens. Tuesday morning, he believed the ravens is coming. Wednesday, he believed the ravens is coming. He didn't worry because God, who has promised, is faithful. Come on, God who has promised is faithful. He experienced overflow. Overflow is coming. And then God said to him, listen, stand up. I have supplied a widow. I've already arranged it. Don't worry. Now the brook, there's no more water. And the ravens is not coming anymore. Now, I want you to understand this. Every time that you're in the Afrikaans word is gemakzone, place of comfort. Many times God stops the flow. Because when you're in a place of comfort, your faith doesn't move. Come on, your faith is not exercising. So what you do now is no longer do you look at the provider, you only look for the provision. You haven't listened now, you haven't heard this. The water is there, so that's provision. The ravens is there, that's provision. But many people come to a place of comfort that you only look to provision, that you no longer see the provider. Now God says, all right, this provision is stopping. I want you to look at me again. Yes, Lord, I have prepared a widow. A widow? If you look at Scripture, people had to take care of the widows. They couldn't take care of themselves. But now the Bible says that God supplied a widow for him. And Scripture says, as he got to the city, exactly as the word was, there was a widow. Because God can't lie. And he saw this widow and he knew this woman, she's the one. And the Bible says she was gathering sticks. Now, listen to what the Scripture says. He says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Say, provide. Provide. Come on, say this again, provide. Provide. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, exactly as the word says, amen, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. Come on, that's overflow. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until, come on, say this, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her whole household ate for many days. There's another translation that says she ate for 100 days. I like that. She ate for 100 days. Now, if you look at this, flour was the basis of offering. Did you know that? The Bible talks about a meat offering. a meat offering that didn't have any meat in. No meat. But it was called a meat offering. Alright? Now, flour was a sign of sacrifice. Now, scripture says that Elijah went down and he declared in a city that was worshipping Baal, he said, there will be no more rain because of your sinful life. There will be no rain on the earth. But there was a faithful woman. She didn't worship the prophets of Baal. She didn't worship their God. She worshipped the God of Israel. And the Lord spoke and he said, I've got a widow ready for you. Remember, I said, even if he finds one. Who remember that? Even if he finds one faithful. And scripture says, he got to her and he said, can you give me something to drink? Now, it wasn't out of the ordinary, because if they saw a stranger coming to a town, they would have always given them something to drink. So when he said, please give me something to drink, she didn't complain or anything. She knew this is the custom. We help people. And the Bible says, on her way, she wasn't far from him. He said, listen, please give me something to eat. And she said, as your God lives, I have only enough for me and for my son to eat. And then we're going to die. A morsel of bread means a mouthful. She's only got a bite to eat. A bite to eat. After that, nothing else. And then Elijah said to listen to me. Listen to me. Make me something to eat. Put that on the altar. Now, it might sound very bad for Elijah to say, listen, I know you're going to die now, but I want to eat something first. Elijah was actually showing us something, that if you put God first, if you take care of God's house, He will take care of your house. If you bless God's house, He will bless your house. Do you believe what I'm telling you this morning? Come, if you believe, say amen in this place. So she said, we're going to eat now, we're going to die. He said, listen, you give me first, because I know something's going to happen. If you have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, if you think about what I'm telling you now, the book of Leviticus talked about they took flour and they will pour out the oil on the flour. They'll pour it out as an anointing. Flour, if you study what the scripture means about talking about flour, remember when Jesus was sleeping on a mountain and all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appeared to him. Who remembers that? Moses represented the Torah, the law. Elijah represented the church. The power. Come on. The miracles. Now, Elijah is on the scene and he's asking her for bread to eat. In the Old Testament, we see everything in the Old Testament is under the shadow of the things to come. New Testament is substance. Here's Elijah demonstrating the church again. Demonstrating the miracle working power. And he said, give me bread to eat. Because you will have bread that will satisfy you forever. He was prophesying that the Christ will come, the true manna from heaven. And they will eat forever. You will not lack anything. You will have more than enough. But take care of Jesus' business and He'll take care of your business. And the Bible says He told her, do not fear. Now, somebody in this place needs to hear me. You're at the brink of your biggest miracle, but you need to get rid of fear. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy said that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. In other words, fear is a spirit. It's not the spirit of God. And you feed that spirit. Every single time, the reason the spirit of fear attacks is because there's a breakthrough in your house. And what he does is he brings forth fear. In order for you to lose focus, because when you lose focus, you lose the bread, you lose the oil. And he said to her, do not fear. Listen, do not fear. Scripture says that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love. In other words, He has given you a spirit of love. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. For God is love. Come on, God is love. Do you agree with me? God is love. In other words, you have received the spirit of the Father on the inside of you. Every time when fear rises up, let love reigns. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I want to buy this DVD myself this morning. Come on, I'm preaching to myself. Come on, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. Come on. Do you feel God in this place today? There's this breakthrough, overflow. So he says, I have given you the spirit, not a spirit of fear, but of love. I have given you a spirit of power. That's the Holy Ghost. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead shall likewise quicken your mortal bodies. In other words, you are already victorious in Christ Jesus because you've got the spirit of power on the inside of you. Come on, you've got you have the power of overflow. Hallelujah. I have given you a spirit of a sound mind. That's Jesus. For Paul says you have the mind of Christ. In other words, you've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Fear cannot live where my God lives. So he said, do not fear, for Jehovah Jireh will take care of you. He will supply the meat. He will supply the bread. He will supply the oil. Don't fear. Come on, I want you to put your hand on your head and say, fear, come out in Jesus' name. Come on, fear, loosen God's people. Every high thing will come down right now. Every stronghold shall be broken in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, because fear attacks your mind. Fear is false evidence appearing real. You can forget everything and run, or forget everything and rise. That's what fear means. You decide what you want to do. You either forget everything and you run away, or you forget everything and you rise up as a victor in Christ Jesus and say, you've not given me a spirit of fear. I will not bow my knee to the spirit of fear. Come on, put your hand on your head again and say, this mind is the mind of Christ. Come on, do you believe what you're saying right now? Say, this mind is subject to the spirit of God. Spirit of fear, you've got no right. Come on, the spirit of fear walks with a lying spirit. Come on, he's a liar. Fear lies to you. Fear is faith in the wrong thing. You have faith in something that's completely wrong, completely opposite of what Scripture promises you. I declare this is the month of overflow. Fear not. What do you have in your hand? See, people don't understand. God is more interested in your obedience than what you have in your hands. If God can take a morsel and turn it around for them for 100 days to eat, how much more can he do for us? Come on, you can say, God, I've got a morsel. Your morsel will become your overflow. Come on, your flour will become your bread in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a shout for victory in this place. He's teaching her kingdom principles. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. Put God first. Come on, I said, put God first. Put God first. Second Kings also talks about something powerful. It talks about Elisha that helped a widow. And I want you to read the scripture. And before I read the scripture, your provision is in proportion to your faith and your ability to receive. That's deep. Your provision is in proportion to your level of faith and your ability to receive. Because we're listening to this. The Bible says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. That's the only thing we've got left, is a little bit of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. I like that word, vessels. Go borrow vessels everywhere. And what I like is, he says, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Tell your neighbor, hey, borrow me a vessel. Quickly. Empty vessels. He said, don't bring me stuff that's full. I want empty vessels. Come and tell them, bring me empty vessels. And he says, do not just gather a few. Don't gather a few. Get as much as you can. And he says, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you. That's powerful. Shut the door behind you. Shut the door. behind you. Shut the door behind your sons. In other words, your season that you just came off, close the door on it. Close the door on it. Shut your door. Shut your door. That season of lack will no longer have power over you. Shut the door. Somebody needs to shut the door. I said, somebody needs to shut the door. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I like that. Say with me, now. Come on, your faith needs to be stirred. Now it shall spring forth. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. Now. Come on, say this now. Not next week, now. Now, this is his promise. Now it shall spring forth. Oh, hallelujah. And he says, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. That's overflow. He said to her, go and gather some vessels. And when you get back to your house, it's time that you shut the door. Shut it behind. Don't leave your children outside. Don't leave them in that season. Bring them in. God is about to work a miracle in your midst. But in order for you to see the miracle, you have to close the door on all the failure, on all the heartache, on all the poverty. Close the door. Shut yourself in with God. Come on, shut yourself in with God. Bring the vessels, put them out, and the full ones, set it aside. And scripture says, she poured her oil. Come on, think about this. She had a little bit of oil, jar in the oil. And now the empty vessels is standing in front of her, and she's pouring. And the more she pours from a little bottle, from a little jar, the more she pours out, the more the vessels are being sustained. The more is getting filled. That is overflow. If I use this small little bottle, and I fill a lot of vessels, only God can do that. Come on, that's overflow. And the Bible says, she called her son, she said, bring me another vessel. He said, listen, there's no more vessels. And then the oil ceased. The oil didn't cease because there wasn't any more. The provision was there. But until you cannot understand this, you need to grasp this, that the provision comes. And when your level or availability of receiving the blessing stops, provision will stop. If you, listen, I want to tell you this is like a woman giving birth. At 9 months, I want to tell you, in fact, I see the water is breaking. And I'm just a midwife this morning. I said, I'm a midwife this morning. I'm here to help you, to direct you, and tell you that there's supernatural supply. It's coming. You're giving birth to the greatest season of your life. If you believe it, I want you to give him some crazy, crazy praise in this place. Bring me more vessels. No longer, there's no more left. Then the oil ceased. The oil will not cease. Not unless you have a hunger. Not unless you have an expectation. You have to come to church knowing something's going to happen. Come on, you can't come to church not knowing something's going to happen. You have to know that you know. Come on, it's a knowing in your knower. Something is going to happen. Because there's an expectation. And when there's an expectation, you'll bring vessels. Many people brought one, many brought two, many brought 10. Don't let it stop. Bring it. For what you will bring, God will fill. You bring it, He'll fill it. I like that. But when your expectation stops, the oil ceases. Then she walked to the man of God and she said, listen, this is what we've got. And he said, go and pay your debt. And the rest is yours. The rest you live on. Now, do you know what? This is a woman in debt. But a man of God announces a new season of overflow. And he cancels the debt. 1 Samuel 22 talks about David and his whole household, 400 men of them, came to the cave called Adullam. The Bible says those men were men in distress, men with debt. He ran away because of Saul And now the 400 guys, the same. And they came to the place called Adullam. Adullam means refuge. You are my hiding place. He's my refuge. So scripture says they came to the refuge. Men that was in distress. Men with debt. Hulle het skuld gehad. Come on. They had debt. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Debt. They had debt. But 2 Samuel talked about a different scenario when those men came out from Adullam, out from the place of refuge. They were debt free. No longer men in distress, but men of valor, men of power. If one man of God can announce this is a season of overflow and a woman believes him and you can believe it, it shall be done to you and your household. God supplied overflow. Now, what am I talking about overflow? I'm talking about God giving you favor, shifting things for you that even debt cannot hold you anymore. He'll give you favor that debt will be washed away. If you're in distress, you're in the right place. You at the hiding place. Come on, if you don't know what to do anymore, there's debt piling up. I've got good news for you. It's season of overflow. And overflow says debt is gone in Jesus' name. This is why the book of Romans says, oh man, nothing except to love one another. God's plan for your life is to be out of debt. Debt not to hold you. Come on, you have to tell your debt, you've got no power over me. Come on, you have to tell debt, no power over me. My shackles is broken in the name of Jesus. One woman believed, the man of God spoke. What do you have? A little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. Bring it. Bring it. You'll see. You'll see that you'll have more than enough. God will not leave you in the desert. If you're in the desert, He will supply the road. He'll supply the rivers. He'll supply the food. Don't you worry. Just listen to the man of God. Overflow. Amen. Scripture says she had enough to eat for 100 days. And then the rain came. Whew. Elijah, what can I do for you? Well, my husband just died. I've got debt. They're going to take my sons away. They're going to take my sons. I've got nothing else. What do you have in your house? Well, a little bit of oil. Bring it. Get vessels. Shut the door. Come on, somebody, shut the door. Shut the door. Now pour it over. God is about to bring increase in your life. Overflow is about to run. Come on, think about pouring it out. It just keeps on running and running and running and running. That is overflow. Come on, you have been in turmoil for far too long. It's breaking open for you today. Come on, I say today. Not yesterday, today. The Bible says there's a season for everything. Do you believe that? Who believes there's a season for everything? Scripture says there's a season to everything. There's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, shut the door, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, shut the door, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, shut, and a time to gather stones. The season that you've lost things is over. What you gather shall not be lost. Last night as I prayed, before I'm going to continue, last night as I prayed, I said to God, I felt this boldness, I said to Him, for each thing that was lost, I command tenfold to be returned. Come on, each stone that was cast away, we command tenfold shall be gathered in Jesus' name. Come on, for each year of joy that you've lost, we command 10 years of supernatural joy shall flood your soul. Come on, 1 year of murmuring shall be turned around into 10 years of supernatural abundance in Jesus' name. Says a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sue. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and time of peace. So there's a time to everything. But on God's clock, it is time for overflow. For His people who will believe His word and say, Lord, I've got nothing except for a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. That's enough. Bring it. And He's going to sustain you. Amen. Overflow means you pay your debt and you live on the rest. Overflow doesn't mean you barely pay your debt. Overflow doesn't mean you're worried how you're going to pay your workers. Overflow doesn't mean you're worried how you're going to get by and pay Edgar's and your house mortgage. And if he supplied the ravens, he'll supply the widow. If he supplied the widow, he will supply the angel. He will take care of you. But don't always just look at provision. Keep your eyes fixed on the provider. You will receive bread that you cannot even contain. This bread will sustain you. It will fill you. You will never hunger again. Come on, you better say hallelujah in this place if you believe this. The season of mourning is over. Is somebody ready to shut the door on the season of mourning? Come on, is somebody ready to shut the door on the season of tears and the season of lack? Do you know what Elijah and Elisha actually just came and proved to them? They actually came and showed them, or showed this woman, represented El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God of plenty. He's not El Getbai, not El Chipo. El Shaddai. It means the God of plenty, the all-sufficient one. Come on, he's El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He'll provide for me in the desert. The same anointing that carried you on the mountaintop will carry you down in the valley. The same anointing.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, but I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I can find the greatest love of all. Yes, mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice.
Sing with me tonight, Majesty.
Majesty, Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hand.
Singing Majesty, Majesty,
Majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, here I am. Forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire.
Come on, lift your voice. singing, tell him tonight. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.